Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Thank you for joining us. Today is August 21st, 2017. I don't want to let the day go by without congratulating and thanking our producer. Over the weekend, we passed our five-year anniversary of this radio show, of this radio station, and I want to thank Jules for all the efforts, major efforts that she has created in her life to make this possible. So thanks, Jules. Also, I want to remind our listeners that we have a new affiliate, KEPW, EugenePeaceWorks.org, KEPW.org. It's a FM radio station here in Eugene. You can find it online also. But because it is an FCC-regulated thing, I'm going to be cutting down on the cussing. And if anybody cusses during the show, it might delay getting it back up on KEPW because I got to delete out any cussing. So that's probably good for me since I'm the cusser here. Anyways, this morning we have with us a friend of our show from St. Louis, Wendy Lumetta. And she is really a citizen activist and really been a victim of the nuclear contamination that's happened, that was buried during World War II and the aftermath of the Manhattan Project. So thanks, Wendy, for joining us. We really appreciate your time and appreciate your friendship to our show.
Thank you so much, Lonnie, for your kind words and for having me on again. Good morning, and it's great to talk to you. And congratulations on 5 years. I am really impressed and proud of you. That's a wonderful achievement.
It's not me. It's the station. I've been on for 2 years, and Jules has been doing this for five. And believe you me, her show, by the way, if you want to catch up on, frankly, even scarier stuff than the nuclear stuff, she talks about all the biology and AI and computer science things. It's called Before the First Cup. It's right before my show. It's live every day. And frankly, it is awesome, but it'll make your hair stand on end to find out what the industrial military complex is doing to humanity and creatures and our planet, and it's kind of a shock. So nuclear is just one little piece of their pie. Let's just put it to you that way.
Well, it sounds like both things are really important work and deserve attention, and maybe I can switch to listening to her show instead of having my coffee.
You should definitely listen to her show. You could do it right before you turn us on. So, well, look, I want to thank you for being with us. One of the things we were talking about is this nuclear waste. Over the last weekend, I don't know if it was this week or the weekend, we both watched a video with John Oliver from, I think it's called Last Week with John Oliver. He did a video about the nuclear waste problem in our country. We have an ongoing, increasing, catastrophic nuclear waste issue that's being ignored.
Yes, I thought actually that he did a really terrific piece, and I was really excited to see it, not the least of which for the length. He dedicated not just a 30-second or minute soundbite, but, you know, a large portion of the show to describing some of the, you know, just the idiocy of the decision-making behind the Department of Energy and the ways that they have mishandled this nuclear waste. Even though he has a comedy show, and it's really not a very funny subject, he does manage to kind of point out the ridiculous and the point that, you know, we have to laugh or we'd be crying all the time. So he really spotlighted not only the issue in St. Louis, although he absolutely mentioned important issues that are happening in St. Louis, but also discussed Hanford and, you know, nuclear waste in general, and that we have been told for the last four decades that this is ever increasing and it's not going away. And yet our politicians and decision makers have been going right ahead and making more of it and not taking care of it. So it's really time for all of us to step up and require the government to do their part. This is something that they want to privatize, which is completely inappropriate. This is a Department of War material that they developed, for the war effort. And it is their responsibility, called cradle to grave. So from the origin of the idea until the very last particle is not impacting a human life, that is their responsibility to make sure that it doesn't hurt anyone. So we are really holding them to task. We're trying to hold them to task here in St. Louis. And the St. Louis Army Corps of Engineers is continuing to clean up the waste that they have for, I think, going on something like 20 years now. And it is through the direct participation and leadership, really, of the group ColdWaterCreekFacts.com, or on the Facebook page, it's Cold Water Creek, Just the Facts, Please. The administrators of that group have dedicated their time, their lives, pretty much every part of themselves to finding out the truth about what happened, to making the public aware, to working with our federal partners and health agency partners to help people identify issues that may happen as a result of exposure to ionizing radiation. So this group has had amazing leadership. I'm so proud of everything that they've accomplished. And I'd like to give a special shout out to Janelle Wright, who I went to grade school with, who is one of the key administrators and who I like to call the very heart of this entire project. It was Janelle and a few other friends of her class from high school that put it together that their high school classmates were getting cancers and dying of cancers at extremely young ages. So it was
wasn't Coldwater Creek the group. This was the very group that created their own plot chart, that did their own statistical, and because they were educated, they knew how to create sort of a scientific study. And so they prepared their own work in a manner that was accepted by the Army Corps of Engineers.
Well, it's not that it's been accepted by the Army Corps of Engineers.
Or the DOE.
What's happened is they have enabled a public health assessment from the Department of, not from the Department of Health and Human Services, but from the ATSDR, which is the federal side. It's part of the CDC. And the ATSDR stands for the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry. So they are the epidemiologists that track how people get sick and why they get sick and where they get sick and how they get sick and, you know, try to put patterns together to figure out what it is and then seek resolution for this. There, we already know through the RECA legislation, which stands for Radiation Exposure Compensation Act, that there are 27 cancer. I think it's 27. I'm not 100% sure on that number now, but at any rate, 20-something cancers that are directly attributable to ionizing radiation exposure. So the people that are getting sick in the Coldwater Creek area align with the people who have been exposed to radiation and the types of cancers that they get. So now we have this public health assessment, and it was through combined efforts. Janelle is an accountant by trade, but it was also the work of another administrator of the Coldwater Creek Group. I'm completely blanking on her name right now, but she is, I believe, a professor at Northwestern. And I think that
I don't know
she
who's
specializes
a professor.
It's terrible. I only know that her
Donna
name
Clark.
Is Diane.
Is it Donna?
No, her name is Diane. I want to say maybe Rombach or something. I'm just not sure of what her last name is. But Diane is a professor and a statistician at Northwestern University. And she and Janelle and other women, including Kim Vizantin, whose child very tragically died of an extremely rare brain cancer that he was born with.
Wow.
These women came together and compared notes and decided to work together. And Diane is the one that is able to collate a lot of the data that comes in. Because since the time where it just started out with friends discussing it and then maybe them, you know, writing lists of people they knew, and then when they started to kind of finally put it together, they made a survey online. And I think it's still up. It's been several years since I've done it.
And it even has her name. Her name is Diane Whitmore Schatzenbach, which is why it's a mouthful. And she did this. She posted this thing since January 16th, 2014. And it's the Coldwater Creek Illness Multi-Case Survey. And you can log in. And there it says, we are collecting information about an unusual cluster of serious illnesses among people who have lived in North St. Louis County. And then you can go on to the survey there.
Great. I'm glad that you got her name, Diane Whitmore Schatzenbach. I actually don't know her personally. I've never met her, but I'm really forever indebted to her for her efforts and her understanding. It's my understanding that she's also personally impacted by this. I'm unfamiliar with that, other with her personal issue, other than to say that I can only assume that means that she or someone she loves has had cancer. Mm-hmm. So we're really talking about these cancers, these rare cancers, the ones that impact the appendix. Once when I had spoken to a political professional in the area about it, and I told him that appendiceal cancer was, you know, one of the concerns, he looked at me and said he had never heard of such a thing. And mm-hmm. I said, I never had either until I began researching this. And so, but because ionizing radiation particles, alpha particles, for instance, they are easily inhaled and ingested, and they're, you know, minute, microscopic, you can't see them. But there are pictures online where that you can see an inhaled alpha particle, and you can actually see like a little explosion going on inside the lung. People that ingest alpha particles, you know, have the potential of having an impact anywhere down their digestive tract. So really the cancer is especially scary, but also because it's also very important, is there's a lot of autoimmune disorders. Mm-hmm. People are sick with various things for various reasons, and they don't know why, and the doctors can't figure it out, and they have all these weird symptoms. And as it turns out, it's because they have either a thyroid disorder mm-hmm. or, you know, an adrenal disorder, some other type of autoimmune disorder that might trigger responses in other parts of the body. So we really, that's another shout out that I'd like to give is to Dr. Faisal Khan, who is with the St. Louis County Department of Health. He composed a letter and has encouraged all members of the Coldwater Creek community to print the letter out and give it to their healthcare providers. And it describes that this population has been exposed to an unusual amount of ionizing radiation due to this radioactive pollution that went through the neighborhood. And so he encourages everyone to be very proactive about their health. If they have any symptoms or signs or concerns, to, you know, please consult your physician, do the proactive screenings that you need to, and don't, you know, wait for something to become a really big problem. So Dr. Khan has very much been an advocate on the cause. And
is that K-A-H-N?
I think it's K-H-A-N. And I know that his first name is Faisal, F-A-I-S-A-L. And he's the medical director for the St. Louis County Department of Health. And he has a big job taking care of the health of everybody that lives in St. Louis. So obviously he's got a lot to do, but he took the time and realized the importance of the population that was at risk there. So we appreciate his acknowledgement and his work on behalf of the community. So we definitely have the ball rolling in terms of...
You know what kind of makes me mad about this is that our government, but like, they created this waste, they pushed nuclear waste on us. I mean, we really did not want the nuclear power plants. We don't need nuclear weapons. We're still having to stand up and say no. We're still using depleted uranium. The government is still in complete denial. And you know what this does? The people that are in litigation cannot talk, because they're in litigation to just get their rights asserted, to just get their medical bills paid. Forget the compensation. Okay. Do you know what I'm saying? What this does is it makes a whole group of people. I've been thinking about this because in St. Louis, I've reached out to many people. They're sick or they're in litigation. There are few who can really talk to me, because this is going to be a long-term project. They're not going to get out of it very quickly. And in the meantime, guess what? They're not openly, publicly speaking about it. What a clever idea to have done with this, the complete denial. As long as you make people fight in court to assert their rights, they can't speak out publicly.
And for people that are seeking whatever it is that they're seeking by going through the court system, I can understand the feelings of everyone who feels like they have been wronged. I definitely feel wronged. I feel robbed of parts of my life. I, you know, have had illnesses at young ages that were just unexplainable. I have a birth defect. For me, going through a potentially expensive and ultimately unknown end to a legal battle was something that I was not personally willing to undertake. And also, the birth defect that I have and the tumor that I had at age 31 was non-cancerous. So I couldn't actually attribute those things directly to the ionizing radiation. Of course, they can be attributed to those things, but the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act legislation doesn't recognize it.
Right.
The government is fully aware that exposure to these harmful substances is bad in many ways, but they require people to literally prove it and document it and show all of the information in court. And that is why people's hands are tied when they, you know, want to pursue being wronged. Then the lawyers say, well, we can't give out any information about this. And, you know, perhaps they have strategies or reasons for doing so that I'm unaware of, but I am not afraid to come and speak. I have nothing to fear. The nuclear, you know, industry has already taken some important parts of my life. And so now I'm going to be working to speak out in opposition of the nuclear industry and the harms of radiation.
I want to thank you for that. I thank you for that, because this is what it takes. The tide is actually turning, although they're changing it in a little bit of a different way. It's like one of the things that's happened, I saw this article today, It says the Navy extends and upgrades their sub-launched nuclear weapons program to 2080. And this is what they're talking about. They are getting more million. They just signed, one company signed a $22.2 million contract for submarine-launched ballistic missile production. And that when you read down in the story, under the Russia, U.S.-Russia New START Treaty signed in 2010, listen to this. Roughly 70% of the U.S.'s nuclear warheads will be deployed on submarines.
What? Repeat that for me if you would. I'm not sure that I caught that. Could you start again from the beginning? Because all I heard was the part that left me incredulous.
Okay, sorry, so Lonnie. I will go
I
up.
A... I have a hearing problem. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is what it's talking about. It's talking about these submarines that they were rebuilding, and then they're building the story about how we built them in the 70s, and then they were upgraded in the 90s. And now the missiles are being planned as a baseline weapon for the Columbia-classic ballistic missile submarines. Under the U.S.-Russia New START Treaty signed in 2010, roughly 70% of the U.S.'s nuclear warheads will be deployed on submarines. Within the last several years, the Navy has acquired an additional 108 Trident II D5 missiles in order to strengthen the inventory for testing and further technological development. Firing from the Atlantic off the coast of Florida in recent years, a specially configured non-armed test version of the missile was fired from the USS Maryland. So let's be clear. They are not at all concerned about nuclear waste. They're right. Putting our nuclear submarines. Can you imagine if anything was to really, really happen and a submarine got either on the Russian side or our side? Either way, it doesn't matter who's getting hit. Nuclear waste is going into the ocean at catastrophic levels.
And at the military-industrial complex's whim. I was just a little, I almost just couldn't believe my ears when you said that. I read recently that the U.S. has 11 aircraft carriers that are being deployed, and the entire world collectively has 8. So the wow. U.S. has more than the whole rest of the world in aircraft carriers.
Do we want to know how much each one of these missiles cost? Each missile?
$30 million each.
$30 million each. We cannot build our own roads. We cannot educate our people. We cannot help the poor. But we can build missiles at $30 million each. For what? For what reason? This is my question.
Well, all of the nuclear capability, you know, you can only blow up the whole world once. And I think we have the capabilities of doing it like 10 times. But what's even the point of having that much? It's just the whole point about testing. I don't accept that. I think that they could have, should have, and would have already received all of the information that they need about testing and would be able to do it in a way that is safe and not giving exposure to anyone else. But we are still fighting this nuclear waste problem. So for as long as they're testing, you're adding to the problem. This is ridiculous. This is like heartbreaking because...
complete denial. And just try to talk to your senators and say, hey, we want to cut back on the military. There's no way, no senator, very few of the congressmen, very few of the senators ever decide that they're going to vote against the military. They almost always vote for it.
Well, I mean, Cheney made $39 billion off of Halliburton. So, you know, the politics of D.C. are that you get elected when you stand with industry that will make it financially feasible for you to hold office. And unfortunately, those monopoly companies and, you know, oligarchy companies, if you will, you know, they are not looking out for people's best interests. They're looking out for their stockholders' bottom line, and that is all. And for as long as the health and welfare of people are being decided by the bottom dollar of, a stock amount, that is just not the way to do. It's not even business. It's not the way to do politics. Business is how to make the most money for the most people. Politics is how to give protection and opportunity for all. And this administration being run like a business is a horrible mistake. Look at Flint and the way that they have poisoned their populace with lead in their drinking water because of a stupid businessman's decision. We can't let businessmen make the decision. We need to let scientists make the decision. And actually, with that said, I wanted to say happy eclipse day. It's going to be coming right over here, right over our skies. And so we're kind of excited about that here in St. Louis. And for all the people.
When is it going to show up there? What time there?
Here, it's a period of time. And it goes across a big arc. I want to say something like maybe it was 1:22 was going to be the moment of totality.
Yeah, here, I think it's going to be 10:17. Salem, Oregon is 60 miles north and they have 100%. So they're saying we're going to get 99% of it. So we're going to have some darkness, or something. But it's kind of overcast today. So I think what will happen is it'll just look like it'll go dark for a minute.
Probably that. Or you can turn on to NASA TV and they are going to have it with their high resolution cameras and filters and all that. So if you can't go outside and see it, you can always see it on TV. But I just wanted to say that for anyone that would be, that is going to be outside looking at the eclipse, well, we know this because science predicts it. And so we already know that things are going to be harmful. We already know that climate change is happening. We already know that ionizing radiation is harmful to people. So we need to learn the lessons of science and apply them before applying business practices to our politics. That is just not the way to do politics. We need to care about our people. So that's the big effort for me, is to try to get people involved, try to figure out how to locally get people informed and understanding the importance of caring.
I think we need to get to the scientists. I think we need to talk to the scientific types, the mathematical types, and say, look, it's imperative that we free science from corporate control. That's fundamentally what it's all about. People are going to work. There's a lot of scientists that know what they're doing. Like, just look at St. Louis. Look how many good people go to work in around that area that work for Republic Services. They're not horrible people, but they go to work for a job. They work for Republic Services, and they know Republic Services is lying. Many of them are victims of their lies, and they know they're lying, and they're still fighting them, but still they work for them. Or look how many people work for the EPA and look at people and say, I wish I could tell you more. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's ridiculous. The secrecy, the steps we have to climb to be able to tell the truth in this country. No wonder we have the chaos of the president stirring up the dirt about fake news. You know what's hilarious? I have to say, I've told this to Ed many times. It's so ironic that Trump calls the news fake. And in a way, he's right, because he knows it was fake because they helped get him elected. They put him on television 80 times more than they did Bernie Sanders. 80 times more.
Absolutely.
They sold him. He didn't have to run ads. They just put up his shenanigans up on television as if it was news. He's, instead of calling him out for the racist pig that he is and having a 2-minute segment, they would have him on for 20 minutes. And then they would discuss, is this a real thing in America? And then they're shocked when someone gets killed over the weekend last week. And it's like, really? If that's not fake, I don't know what is.
He is an affront to human beings, personally. That's my opinion of him. I believe him to be a television personality and not even a very good one. And people had a choice. And they were upset about the DNC's issues last year. I'm not going to go into that other than to say that people felt that they were robbed of that choice. And so a lot of people just didn't show up. And I believe that was a major contributor to Trump getting elected. That said, there were also a number of low information voters, single issue voters, and people that actually wanted a chaos presidency. They didn't want a deep state person that has been in politics for, you know, a lifetime or for their career or whatever. They wanted something different. Well, when you hire a roofer, you want somebody who's maybe been up on a roof once or twice. So for that to be the understanding is a concept that I don't follow with people. I would want somebody who is the most qualified, the most experienced, had the most information, the most contacts.
You know what it is they believed his lies. They believed he was super rich. They believed he was a good businessman. What they did not look into was the reality. He bankrupted several times. Actually, this was a very telling thing. There was a story that came out. Some of the Apprentice people came out and said, when you won the Apprentice, you went on a radio, any television show, any appearance on behalf of the Apprentice, you were expected to say to them, we had the highest ratings of the week. Even if it wasn't true, even if you got caught, and there's plenty of videos with people saying, oh, we had the highest, and the people, their interviewer would say, actually, that's not true. You guys were like third. No, we were first. That was part of what Trump told them to say. So that is very telling. That alone is telling on who this character is.
Well, not only on his character, but also on the gullibility of the American people. They need to be smarter than this. They need to be more woke than just, gee, I want to, listen to the guy say, you're fired. I don't understand the hilarity of that. I don't understand the entertainment in that. I never thought that his insults were funny. And then after he actually started to look to become a more serious candidate, I found out more about his, incredible racial oppression and the way that he has conducted himself. You know, how any woman in America would vote for a man that says it's okay to grab a woman by the genitals is somebody who I don't understand them. I don't understand their method of thinking. And frankly, I don't care. We disagree. There is no acceptance of that situation. It is never okay to do something like that. And for a person that is the president of the United States to say that, and then for people to continue to stick by him, I feel like I'm living in a different time. Like, maybe before civil rights or before, I don't know what this country is coming to. It's just crazy. And all of this racial violence.
Oh, man, you said my key word there, crazy. It's not crazy. It is not crazy. What it is desperate. People desperately want something different. I personally could not stand Clinton at all. And I am one of those people who thinks that, I think the Russians murdered Seth Rich at the behest of the DNC. I'll just tell you straight up. And I hold them 100% unequivocally responsible for handing us traitor Trump on a gold platter because they knew he would win. So this is where I'm at. I'm with those voters who said they don't want the deep state. But the issue is Americans are desperate because we have not faced that we have had a military coup. The nuclear issue gets down to the core of it. We are going to put 70% of our nuclear weapons, and this was signed in 2010, and you and I, this is where it belongs with us. We're kind of shocked. We're just now hearing this detail. This has been in force since 2010. Now, I've been covering this for 5 years or probably, since 2012, really. So it's been just about 5 years. And honestly, did I ever hear this? No. When I read this, I was shocked myself. I had the same response you did. And that, again, speaks to the ever huge power of the subversive, the way they've really studied human psychology and the way they've kept us without really having the there's just too much on our plate. The nuclear waste, the nuclear problem, we are drowning in nuclear waste and nuclear war issues, period. Whether we actually have a nuclear war or not, it doesn't matter. We have all the waste in the world that's going to kill the world 10 times over already.
Right.
So
that is the troubling part, among other things. Apparently there is some efforts underway to want to do something with this radioactive waste, I guess, to maybe try to recycle it or turn it into some other alternate source. Well, the problem is, until you have that, what you have is the stuff is just building up, without a place to go. So if that's going to be the plan, we really need to have the technology for it. And if we don't have the technology, then we need a different plan. So, again, on the John Oliver show, he was talking about the kind of craziness about they told us these things 40 years ago. This is not like a steak. It doesn't improve with age. This is a bad, bad thing. It's building up and building up with nowhere to go. And it's really important that people become engaged and aware and put pressure on their electeds. So many times I hear, well, what can one person do, or what kind of impact can one person do? Well, I think you are proof positive that one person can do a heck of a lot. I just have all the admiration and respect for you in the world for you do on behalf of all people, to recognize the intense horrors of nuclear and to be aware of this. And people, it's not time to put our heads in the sand.
Well, I will tell you this. There are a lot of pro-nuclear people that you will speak to who say that we just overstate the harm caused by nuclear. But interestingly enough, you come from a town where really they really willy-nilly buried nuclear here, buried nuclear there, here, there, everywhere. That's kind of St. Louis. Some places a lot more, but that's what I'm in. That's kind of the tone. Even across the river, Missouri River in Illinois, there's some places that are affected right across the river. And it's all the same program, the Manhattan Project. And this is the thing. They have known. This is why, like I said this yesterday when I was talking to someone, I'm not interested in the guillotine effect of coming to terms with the nuclear waste. I know that the military has been downplaying it, lying about it because they were thirsty for the technology. I get that. But it comes a time where you say, basta, we've had enough. Let's just stop and let's refocus the shift. We need the same scientific minds to help us figure this stuff out. But we need honest conversations, and we got to stop denial of what it's doing to our people. And we need to figure out ways to prevent it from doing that to our people. And I don't think we need to have there's a lot of angry people who feel like people need to be held accountable and they need to go to jail. I don't think that's going to get us where we're going to go. I think that those few people, I don't know how do you feel about that?
Well, I feel like people that say things like that are probably coming from a place of deep hurt. They've lost something, they've lost someone, and they want somebody to pay. With a Supreme Court's decision that a corporation has the same rights as an individual, this doesn't give the average human being a lot of comfort knowing that they really don't have anyone. The decision makers regarding the Manhattan Project, I don't know this absolutely, but I feel pretty certain that they're dead now, since 70 years have passed.
Yeah.
There may still be some alive that I'm not aware of. But at any rate, we really need the government to come together and recognize that, this isn't going to go away. It's only going to get worse and worse. And they should acknowledge that the longer that they let it go, the more it's going to be. And if they let it go longer, it's going to be even more. And so, it's really time for them to step up, to be honest with the population. And I just don't know that that is what the government does, because the government generally wants people to you know, feel safe. And, you know, right now, a lot of people don't feel safe for a lot of different reasons. And nuclear isn't necessarily the thing that is on the top of their mind, although in reality, it's something that they're being bombarded by 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they can't, you know, see, hear, smell, or feel it and aren't aware of it. So they don't know that it is a bioaccumulative process also. And that, you know, things that they don't know really can hurt them. So, you know, again, it's great to have this platform to talk about this because not nearly enough people are talking about the harms of nuclear. And actually, before I forget about it, I wanted to say one more thing about the weekend news. And that was that I wasn't sure if you saw this part, but they had apparently discovered parts of the USS Indianapolis, which was the boat that brought over the atomic bomb over to Japan. And on the way back, it sunk and they weren't rescued for days because it was a secret mission. And a large number of the men on board ended up being eaten by sharks. And this is one of the stories that is told in the movie Jaws. The only really troubling part is that this is absolutely true. The military did not send out rescue crews because it was such a secret mission. And it was because it was nuclear, because it was the first nuclear bomb that went over to Japan during World War II. So I know that they did an interview. I believe that there is, there may be more, but I know for a fact there is one man that is still alive that lived and told the tale of being in that water and listening to the men being taken one by one while he was in there. Can you imagine the horror? I just, the amount of lives tragically lost in the efforts of war, I'm so opposed to any type of violence being the reflex action for reaction for anything. There's nothing that we can have war about that we can't also talk about first. You know, before there's ever a need to explode anything or blow anything up, you know, people need to come together and discuss problems and find ways to come together. And war is definitely not the answer. So we should absolutely all support stopping nuclear of every kind, nuclear energy, nuclear warheads, nuclear submarines. It all needs to just end. Because no good will ever come of it. For as long as nuclear exists, the nuclear waste continues to build, putting us all in jeopardy. So we all.
I think we need to change the focus of the nuclear industry into resolving and fixing the, because it's. And this is the thing: the culture of lying and denial. Heidi Lambert and I have talked about this. The culture of lying and denial that's gone on in Richland and around any nuclear facility. Even Glenn Woodford, he got his life threatened. He was protesting in front of a thing in Paducah, Kentucky. And it's a nuclear processing plant there. And he was at a social gathering and somebody said, well, you need to just be careful. Now, that's a threat. That is a threat. And so why is that? Why is there such hostility? I mean, when we know that where is the culture that's going on around it? Here we have this nuclear treaty that was signed in 2010 by Obama with Russia. And I remember the signing of this, but I had no idea. I remember them signing this and thinking at least it's a sort of a reduction of the nuclear thing. But I guess this was our capitulation. We'll put 70% of it on the water. Like, the most vulnerable place in the world. And actually, you know where their submarines are is up here in Seattle. I do know that. Most of the nuclear armory is in Seattle. It's a big bay up there.
Yeah.
In fact, that whole little neck of the woods, Hanford, all that way up north, this just, when the Cascadia fault line goes, I hope the ocean buries that part of the world. Because if it doesn't, it is goodbye-bye Northern Hemisphere. To be honest,
well,
it's going to not be good.
Well, if they don't get Fukushima and other problems of radiation under control, we may be all kissing everybody goodbye sooner than we thought anyway.
That's true.
But
And we're probably already there. I mean, Fukushima is really seriously. In fact, did you see this? McMaster students are going over to the Fukushima site to study it.
Yeah, I actually did say that. See that? I do follow the news on Fukushima.
Oh, yes.
It's a horrifying situation. I can't imagine how awful it would be to live in that kind of environment and to endure things like that. But by the same token, the very example of Fukushima is like the perfect example of how to tell people the realities of how governments lie to their populations about nuclear exposure. Because apparently the country of Japan maintains that after the initial, blast or whatever that happened with, I know that it was a typhoon hitting the reactors, and there were people that were initially injured and killed with high levels of radiation. And then after that, no deaths have occurred from radiation. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you would think that some other people would have some accumulative radiation that would go, but instead there was just the people that were initially blasted and then nothing. Well, we all know that in a scientific curve of the way things happen, not very many scientific models just drop off into nothing. There's always a curve of, the height and then, the lessening or greatening of things. And so what this essentially means is that Japan is not acknowledging that long-term chronic radiation is also a problem that is causing people to get sick and die. They're attributing it to things other than radiation so that they don't have to up the death count for Fukushima, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to understand that.
Well, there's also a secrecy law they passed in Japan. They're not allowed to talk about it. You can't go to the doctor and say, I have radiation sickness. That's illegal. The doctor will say, we don't test for radiation sickness, and that's not likely because there is no problem. That's what they will tell people.
Wow.
It's really bad. If a journalist starts asking about Fukushima, they could be arrested. That's why we're hearing very little, except for the party line there. Look into the secrecy law, Japan's secrecy law around Fukushima that they passed. I think it was 2015. That's why they zipped their lip. That's why they're starting to push people back to going into. In fact, at the same time, they actually told the people of Fukushima, move back in or you're going to lose your housing subsidies. And you may have to pay. I think that, I don't know if they passed this part, but they were going to have to pay TEPCO back for their temporary housing if they didn't move back to Fukushima. I don't know if that part passed, but this is really, when you're talking about what the governments do, this is not governments. This is the military took over the IAEA is the military. Let's be clear. It is. I kind of had this conversation with Patty Amino, the difference between the military and the Defense Department, because I guess there's a difference. Some people consider the military the guys and the girls on the ground, but even those people, I think they need to be conscientious objectors and saying, we're not going to participate in anything nuclear. No, not going to do it. And we're not going to shoot depleted uranium weapons. Not going to do it. Because they're actually, although I don't think they're told if they have depleted uranium weapons. But
there you go. I was going to say that's dependent on their knowledge that they know that that's what it is. And
right. You
can't trust the government to tell you the truth about things, especially if it's going to hurt you. So that is really the takeaway, is that the government is not necessarily here to help you. They're here to exploit you and, make you one of their little worker bees.
I would say the military. I think we need to take it back and stop calling it the government. We need to demand our elected officials stop the industrial military complex. They are only there because they keep funding them. They keep giving them these contracts. This contract that started this conversation was only a $22.2 million contract to Lockheed Martin, just for labor, material, and support services. The U.S. tried it Trident II D-5 submarine launch ballistic missile production. So that was just a support service to this $30 million. So these things cost $30 million. So Lockheed Martin gets $22.2 million part of it. I mean, this, and how many do we need to have? I mean, this is the issue. Yeah. This is not even a conversation that you can have. You try calling Claire McCaskill, who I know is your senator, and Roy Blunt, and saying, hey, yeah, man, we do not want any of these nuclear weapons. We want us to go nuclear free. We don't want to use depleted uranium weapons. They'll say, thank you very much. Thank you for your opinion. We'll let the congressperson know. We'll let the senator know. Thank you for calling us.
I am equally frustrated. I actually, Claire McCaskill just put out a statement over the weekend that said it's not her job to oppose Trump, which I would respectfully disagree with because I'm her constituent and that's exactly what I want her to do. But,
it's not her job to oppose Trump. What does she mean by that?
I don't know exactly what the context was. I've been doing a lot of reading over the weekend, so I'm probably just going to get things all jumbled up, but I'm sure it was in reference to something that he said regarding this, you know, crazy white supremacist stuff that he's been pulling all week. It's just crazy that he would be, you know, just so cavalier and
there you go again with that word, crazy. It's not crazy. It's not crazy. It's treasonous. He's a white supremacist. Let's just be very clear. He is a white supremacist. He is actually a little Nazi. I mean, his dad was arrested as a white supremacist.
Yes, that's exactly right. He does not disavow David Duke. He doesn't disavow the KKK. He you know, speaks very generally in terms of, you know, well, we disavow all of this. And then he says that there are good people on both sides. Right. Excuse me. No, there aren't. There are no good people on the side of the Nazis. If they're on the side of the Nazis, that means that empirically they're on the bad side. And so for him to even suggest that, and then for people to accept that, it's just insane. And I don't
know. Well, I think it's un-American. I don't think it's American values. I think that is not American. We're talking about upholding the American Constitution. That's what makes America America, folks. It's not because we live in this land. If it was, we'd have all these native, the original first tribes. We're the United States of America because of a constitution and a set of laws that we set out and abide by. And that part of the American Constitution has a level of compassion about it. You have a right to free speech, but you also have a right to protection from people who are going to harm you. And there's a certain level of malevolence you cannot express publicly. You can say it in your house. You can play Nazi music all you want in your own home all day long. But you cannot go out in the streets and start calling people names and treating women with complete disregard and people of color with complete disregard without humanity. That's not acceptable.
It's not for anyone who actually cares about other people.
They don't care, though, Wendy. They don't think that people are worth the respect. That's fundamentally the bottom line is, that's their position, is they are superior. They can treat anybody the way they want because they are created better by God. That's what it means.
And I reject that as a human being. And anyone that is complicit in that is supportive of that. And so that's why, you know, for anyone who you know, was opposed to Hillary because they didn't want to keep up with the status quo or because they were unhappy with, you know, what happened with Bernie and the DNC, you know, really Trump is worse. I'm sorry, but, you know, people keep on saying, well, you know, it's better than Hillary. No, it isn't. Hillary wouldn't be dismantling all of the environmental protections that we have. Hillary wouldn't be allowing people of color and people from other countries to be, you know, antagonized and discriminated against. And
she would not have made a mockery of the G20. That's for sure. I mean, this is the thing. There's so much. Everything that he has done has been to disrupt norms and institutions in our country. That is not a person who's looking after the best interests of the United States to come in. Okay, if he wanted to have the wrecking ball crew, if his plan was to like, hey, get rid of all that stuff, we don't need it, then you need a second plan of how you're going to deal with the vacuum, with the loss of people out of jobs that they were actually doing work that provided aid and comfort to our economy and our way of life. So how, what are you going to, right now, what we have is a big bunch of vacuums going on. There's a bunch of holes that are like, those holes are being filled in by something. And who is in the top? The military. That's who's plugging the holes. This is what makes Donald Trump, in my view, dangerous. Not only did we have a soft military coup after World War II, and the nuclear industry has had a tight hand, manipulated it perfectly, we now have a president who has intentionally destroyed every safeguard we have to not having our country overthrown by the military.
And who's a complete loose cannon himself, who cannot control himself from moment to moment. I mean, he's just displayed total disregard for anything other than his own whim at the moment. It's just the most dangerous combination with nuclear. I'm actually glad and grateful to even still be here talking to you about it, because
we need to H-E-E-L, man. We need to H-E-E-L. We need to heal. We need to become heels like Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Like, this guy is frightening, really.
Well,
this is the person who has the nuclear codes.
That's the frightening part. My understanding was they couldn't find any Republican pundits or anybody to talk to pundits yesterday on the Sunday morning news shows. But the person that was willing to come forward to speak on Trump's behalf was Jerry Falwell. And as a result, people that graduated from his university wanted to return their diplomas. So I'm really happy to see that the country seems to be unifying in their understanding that Trump is inherently dangerous. And he's certainly dangerous with the nuclear code. If he can't control himself on Twitter, what makes anyone think that he would think twice about, you know, just getting mad and firing one off at Kim Jong-un? You know, it's just...
I think it's worse than that. You know? I personally think he's an abuser. He is going to spank America pretty hard. This little chit-chat, I thought it was very telling when they said he is preparing, he's taking the day to prepare how he's going to explain Afghanistan to us. Like, this is a very... The way they said this, he is going to spank America hard for rejecting him. And this is how he's going to take it out with the power that he can. This is not going to be fun. Unless the only thing is, you know, might be fun if he quit tonight. That would be pretty awesome if he said, I'm handing it over to Mike Pence and I've decided to step down. Wouldn't that be great?
Well, that might be jumping out of the frying pan into the fire, but I agree that he is
true.
So inappropriate and unpresidential in every way. And should not be there and should be leaving and hopefully will be. I just don't know what it's going to take, you know, to make that happen. He said that he could shoot somebody in New York and nobody would do anything. And actually, I believe him. So it's a little frightening that more people aren't willing to kind of call him out on his behavior. But now, like I said, with the people from Falwell's University returning their diplomas and things like that, I think people are starting to get really sick of it. We're tired of being bullied. That's not the way to lead. People don't respect leaders that pick on other people and are hurtful to people. You know, that's not the way to lead. That's not the way to.
Well, and we're going to have Panda here. We have about 20 seconds. You've been listening to Wendy Lumetta. Thank you, Wendy, for joining us. Put your courage feet on, you guys. As you've heard in the last hour, it does matter that you take action. Put your courage feet on. Do not let them get away with this. Let's take our country back by getting actively engaged. So we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Take care. Thanks, Wendy.
Thank you, Lonnie.